From the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And I'll be reading from verse 1 to 6. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1 to 6. After which, we will skip over to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1 to 6, reading from the New Living Translation, it reads thus: The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message, O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. If I should give this message a subject this morning, it will simply be in the potter's hand. We are in the potter's hand. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, instructing him to move down to the potter's house. And when he gets there, he's going to get a word from the Lord. And so, Jeremiah, being obedient to the Lord, makes his way down to the potter's house. And he said when he got there, observing what was happening inside the potter's house, Jeremiah said he found the potter working at his wheel. But while he was watching the potter, he said the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. An observation of what takes place in the potter's house, or the instruments, or what's inside the potter's house, we will note that Jeremiah stated that he saw him working on a wheel. So number one, inside the potter's house, you will find the potter himself. Next, you will find his wheel, and a vessel containing water. Naturally, you will find clay, dust. You will find clay. You will notice also that there may be other vessels in the potter's house, vessels that were already produced for service. are about to be dispatched for service. Inside the potter's house, you may notice vessels that are tucked away in a certain corner, because they were marred and was not deemed appropriate to be used. Another thing that's inside the potter's house, two things, and they're not tangible, and you can't see them. It's the will of the potter, and it's the blueprint of the potter. If you're observing the activity of the potter, you cannot see these two. It's intangible. You can't touch it. You can't see it. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 6. Let's go there quickly. It reads, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. For anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to him must first believe. You must be fully convinced that he exists, that God is. Not only that he is, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We recognize that in the potter's house, there's a lump of clay that is to be worked. There are two important things in the potter's house. One of the most important things is his wheel and the vessel containing the water. Without these two things, the blueprint is simply a blueprint. The will of the potter is simply a will. But his design cannot become a product without the wheel, without his hands and the vessel containing the water. It remains a thought. It remains a mere imagination in the mind of the potter. But his wheel, his hands, and the vessel contained in the water are tools that are most important to him. We notice that the lump of clay is simply a lump. It's dust. It's nothing. It's empty. It's material taken from the ground. It can't move. There's no motion. There's no activity in the clay. It's dead. We notice that in the potter's house, there is one will, and it's the will of the potter. The clay does not have a will. It can't move. It's motionless. It's simply a lump. There's no beauty in it. as long as it remains a lump. There's no purpose for it as long as it remains a lump. You and I were taken from the dust. We were formed from the dust. The Bible said that the potter, God himself, the eternal one, he molded man from the dust. Shape man into the intended vessel that he wanted him to become. When he looked on the vessel, he was still not satisfied. He knelt down and he blew into the nostril of man, and man became a living soul in the hands of the potter. So we recognize how dead that lump of clay is. That's why the words of Jesus are so true and precious. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, he said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man wants to get on my wheel, he must deny himself, take up his cross, become dead, and follow me. Allow my hands to shape him. He must follow me. You got to be dead. Jeremiah said while he was watching the potter on the wheel, the wheel is in motion, and there's a piece, a lump of clay on that wheel. The potter, and I took note, I'm kind of a visual learner at times, so I went on YouTube and I watched a few lessons in pottery, and I saw them, the man with the wheel, and he said the important thing to him is that this wheel, the surface of it must be moist. And then he said, one thing you've got to understand, that the wheel has got to keep on spinning. It's important to keep the wheel spinning and to keep the lump of clay wet. I watched him in his art as he demonstrated some of the activities. He said at times you've got to allow this lump to become round, and as it spins you've got to shape it. He said you've got to shape it from the bottom coming up, and sometimes you've got to put your hands on that lump, apply pressure and press it all the way down. And as I watched him, I can only imagine in my mind the activity of God in our lives, on us being just a lump on that wheel. But Jeremiah noticed that while the potter was making a vessel, Jeremiah noticed that this vessel, the lump now was shaped in something that he could identify. It was a vessel, a jar. But it became mar in the hands of the potter. And what he does is important, because sometimes here we find an act of grace. Because sometimes when the vessel that's on the wheel, the lump that's on the wheel, when the potter is working it, sometimes when it becomes mar, as I watch some of those videos, they simply take it off the wheel, cut it off with a string, wire string and pull it from the base of that wheel. And instead of trying to fashion it into a vessel, they simply toss it into the garbage because it failed to become the intended design of the potter. But here, Jeremiah noticed that the potter did not take this lump off the wheel. He kept it on the wheel. And while it was on the wheel, he started to work that pot, that lump of clay. He started over to make it into a vessel. Sometimes I can just imagine the question needs to be asked of everyone that's online this morning. How dead are you on the potter's wheel? You're in his hands, but how dead are you? If the potter stops the wheel from spinning, are you still spinning? Are you pliable in the potter's hand? Or have you come to him with your own will? Or are you dead? And you are just in the potter's house, trusting him by faith that he will perform what he needs to perform. Am I in the hands of the Lord? Am I dead? Am I allowing his will to be performed in my life? The book of Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. Paul writing to the Roman brethren, he said, no, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? Am I dead? Or am I arguing with the potter? Question is, is it my liveliness? Is it because I entered or I went on the potter's wheel with my own will that caused me to be marred? Is it that I'm arguing with the designer when I am just a lump? Think about it. Paul said, should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? Thank you, Lord. It became marred in the potter's hand. So he crushed it. It's not dead. He crushed it. No time for arguments while you're on my wheel. I'm the potter. You are the clay. Ha Yahushua. No time for you to tell me what you want to become. You have some folks in the church that they are born in the church and they know the ministry that the Lord has given them and they know everything about their walk with the Lord, what they should do and what they should not do. They know. No one can instruct them. They know who they are. Paul asks, he said, when a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into? I'm in the potter's hand. Lord, keep me on the wheel. Start over if you may. But make me a vessel of honor. Sometimes we can get so relaxed, carried away by what we have become. You look like a jar for a purpose. But what you look like today is not what the Lord intended you to be. That's not the final design. Some folks became so alive. God gave them gifts. And the gift that they had received from the Lord, they became so alive. They made a ministry out of it, hopping off the wheel. Not recognizing that God was not finished making them. The blueprint was not completed. But here we notice on the potter's wheel is the grace of God. Because this potter did not get rid of the lump of clay. But he simply crushed it. I want to speak to someone who is marred. Someone who feels like their whole life is torn apart. Someone who just can't see any beauty coming out of this lump. Katio Shanda. I want you to open your mouth this morning and say, I'm in the hands of the potter. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Kata Shamba. Hallelujah. Someone whose life is turned upside down. And you don't understand what's happening. It was Job in the book of Job, chapter 10 and verse 8. Job said, you formed me with your hands. You made me, yet now you completely destroyed me. What I'm experiencing is destruction. I'm shattered. But I'm clinging to you. I'm in your hands. He said, remember that you made me from the dust. Will you turn me back to dust so soon? You guided my conception and formed me in the womb. You clothed me with the skin and flesh, and you knit my bones and sinews together. You gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. My life was preserved by your care. You formed me with your hands. You made me, yet now you completely destroyed me. I want to speak to someone. Who does not understand what's happening in their lives. You're broken. As I observe watching some of those videos on pottery, I recognize when the vessel was marred in the potter's hand, he used a piece of wire, severed it, cut it away from the wheel. Not only that, but he cut the vessel into half. And he explained why he did it. He said he checks for the quality of the clay. He checks for the uniformity of that lump that was shaping into a vessel. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that God will use his instrument to cut us. Yes. He will press down on us and it will seem like our whole life is destroyed. But the beauty about it, this activity is taking place on his wheel. This activity is taking place while you are still wet. The cut, though painful it is an act of grace. The pressure from the hands of the potter is an act of grace. The thing, the lump, is the creation of the potter and has no right to argue with the potter. You entered the potter's house by faith. That's all you came in with, by faith. You believe that the potter exists. And you believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's all you came to the table with. You are dead. Ezekiel chapter 16. And another message came to me from the Lord, said Ezekiel, son of man, confront Jerusalem. Go speak to them. With her detestable sins. Give her this message from the sovereign Lord. You, Jerusalem, are nothing but a Canaanite. You're just a lump. There's no beauty in you unless my hands are on you. You're just a lump. Tell them that they are nothing but a Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, no one cared for you. Your umbilical cord was not cut, and you were never washed, rubbed with salt, and wrapped in cloth. No one had the slightest interest in you. Did you remember that before you came to the potter's house, the mess you were? Did you remember that no one was interested in you? You were nothing. You were a lump. You weren't washed. Your umbilical cord was not cut, and you weren't clothed. No one was interested in you. No one pitied you or cared for you. On the day you were born, you were unwanted, dumped in a field and left to die. But you came to my house. Because I passed by. I saw you helplessly kicking about in your blood, your own blood. You were messy, bloody. As you lay there, I said, live. And I help you to thrive like a plant in the field. You grew up and became a beautiful jewel, because I say live. You came to my house. I decorated you and I formed you into a beautiful vessel. He said, your breasts became full and your body hair grew, but you are still naked. And when I passed by again, I saw that you were old enough for love. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declared my marriage vows. I fell in love with you. I made a covenant with you, says the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. Then I bathed you and washed off your blood, and I rubbed fragrant oils into your skin. You are in my hands. I gave you expensive clothing of fine linen and silk, beautifully embroidered, and sandals made of fine goatskins leather. I decorated you. Gave you lovely jewels, bracelets, beautiful necklaces, a ring for your nose, earrings for your ears, and a lovely crown for your head. And so you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were made of fine linen and costly fabric and were beautifully embroidered. You ate the finest foods, choice flour, honey, and olive oil, and became more beautiful than ever. What a vessel! You looked like a queen, and so you were. All this was the vision I had for you in my mind. And I made you like this. Your fame soon spread throughout the world because of your beauty. I dressed you in my splendor and perfected your beauty, says the sovereign Lord. But you thought your fame and beauty were your own. So you gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. A vessel. in the hands of the Lord. Became so alive that they no longer recognized the beauty was because the hands of the Lord was upon them. They took ownership of the beauty. Thought it was theirs. Sold themselves as prostitute. Forgot about the hand of the Lord. Forgot how naked and exposed and bloody they were. That no man cared for them. While they were on the wheel, they became so alive that the hands of the Lord was no longer recognized. So the sovereign Lord said, I'm going to crush you. I'm going to allow the enemy to come into your territory and crush you. Sometimes, as an act of grace, God has to discipline the church. He has to discipline his people to allow the intention of his divine design to come forth. It's dangerous at times when God promotes or beautifies the lump, the vessel. The vessel sometimes becomes so carried away and commits the sin and thinks that the beauty belongs to them, and did not recognize that it doesn't matter if the work of art leaves the potter's house. There's an impression in that work of art that gives, speaking from the natural side, imprints the name of the artist and the date of the design. You see it on paintings, you'll see it on artifacts. Such and such was made by Michelangelo in the year of such and such. But it belongs to the potter. The beauty is not ours. So many times we become so lively in the hands of the potter. Where the potter can't settle us on the wheel to shape us, we want to argue with him. We want to tell him what we want to be. Isaiah 45 and verse 9, he said, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator. Israel, you don't know, O house of Jerusalem, what you have done by taking the beauty of the Lord, the jewels that he has decorated you with, to make into idols. There's a sorrow that's awaiting you. Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Some people like to argue with what God is doing. Sometimes we don't understand what God is doing in our midst. And we want to tell God how to do his business. I'd rather take the principle of Gamaliel. Stand by, watch. I won't say nothing. I won't try to spoil that film that's playing. I'm not going to spoil the show. I'll stand. If it is of God, it will prosper. If it is not of God, it will become nothing. Some folks are so brilliant in their own mind. They don't understand what God is about to do. They are so happy in becoming, or so happy for the first title, the first promotion, the hop off the wheel. Instead of leaving with the name of the potter stamped on that vessel, they make a name for themselves. He said, can that clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? No, you can't. Because you don't know what's in the mind of the potter. Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? No, you can't. You don't know. I recognize also by watching the potter that as an observer, you have to be so patient. Levels of excitement as I watch. Sometime when he presses at the base and he pushes that clay up and opens his arm, I'm like, oh my God, he's making a nice jar, which is slender at the bottom, at the top it's wide. What a nice jar. And I become so excited about what I'm seeing. But in a few seconds, he puts his hands that's wet and dirty, he puts it at the top and squeezes everything back together. And all I see is just a piece of lump. And I wonder, what is this man doing? Then he pushes his two thumbs into the center of the clay and pulls it apart. And it opens up like a jar, like a bowl. And it looks now like he's making a bowl. And I'm excited. What a beautiful bowl. And then he pushes at the side. And it goes all the way up. And sometimes I'm watching. And I'm skipping a few seconds ahead. Because I don't have the patience. And I begin to wonder how impatient we are at times when we're on the wheel. Today, it feels as if, or it seems as if God is about to use me for such and such. And tomorrow, all that feeling is gone and I'm confused. And I get excited the next time I hear a word that presses against me. And I feel like, yes, this the Lord is shaping me now to become such and such. And then the hands of the potter squeezes against me until it seems that I'm so lost. Misery sets in. Yes, I'm speaking to someone who God is processing, someone who God is about to promote, that you're in his hands. Don't argue with the potter. Remain dead in his hand. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm dead. Since I'm dead and I no longer live, I'm alive because of Christ. I want to be comfortable in his hands. He said, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to stay focused and allow him to shape me into what he wants me to be. I recall in my own life, not only my past experience, but presently, a person who's in the hands of the Lord does not know where the Lord wants to take them. He does not know. He can only imagine. But he does not know. There are times in our walk with the Lord where we will have beautiful experiences, mountaintop experiences, that we will never want to part with them. We want to remain on the mountaintop. But then the hands of the potter, who's working this work of art, puts some water on us and presses against us. And it seems as if our faith is shattered. I'm not shouting this morning. I'm speaking into someone's spirit. It seems like all hope is gone. Your whole life is a misery. Looks like you're in a dodgeball situation. The bullets are flying. You're about to be torn into pieces. I want to let you know this morning that the Lord says, you are mine. I am the potter. You are the clay. And you are in my hand. I'm going to make you what I want you to be. Be still on the wheel. You must believe that I exist and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Though my voice may be still, not speaking, I'm quiet. My hands are upon you, Katashaya. Shandabakosaya. You haven't heard anything, Katashaya. God, the heaven is like a brass. Seems like my prayers are going nowhere. I have news for you. The Lord is saying, don't you worry, my hands are upon you. Shakotoya basata. Namakusataya. though you may be marred in my hand, what I want you to do is to give me your will. Give it to me. Let me shape you into what I want you to be. I'll make you into a vessel like you've never seen before. But this great God spoke to one Abram at the time, living in Ur of the Chaldees, whose father was an idolater. Said, get out of your country, your father's household. Leave them. And I'll make you a great nation. I'll make your father of a great nation. A nation that the number of them cannot be numbered. They're like the sand and the stars of the sky. He got out. He was on the wheel. By the time his family entered Egypt, while in Egypt, God's hands, Kol Shandaba Asaya, was upon them. How? By giving them a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and caused that Pharaoh to press against that lump called Israel, living in Goshen. See, brothers and sisters, what we don't understand is that the hand of God could be your enemy. Katashaya. What we don't understand is that the hands of God could be the one who hates you, who presses against you. But what you got to see is that the pressure that is being applied is going to make you in that vessel of beauty to be used of the Lord. And so, my God Almighty, being threatened by how the people of Israel was multiplying in Egypt, Pharaoh said, my God Almighty, I've got to make them slaves. But making them slaves was the hand of God to join them as a people and allow them to become a nation. You can't be delicate in this kingdom. This kingdom is not a place for the feeble heart. So delicate. The gospel or the message that we have is one of life and death. And the master, from time to time, will allow us to feel the pressure of this world. But the beauty is that you're on the master's wheel and you're in his hands. Bible would have us to understand when the pressure was applied upon the people in Egypt that God delivered them with a strong hand, brought them out as a nation. Don't you know that when the hand of the Lord is upon you, there's an impression, there's a word that's deposited in your spirit. The fact that God has interest in that lump is good enough for me to be still in the hands of the Lord. Don't you argue. Let's not argue with what the potter is doing, since he did not reveal the blueprint to the clay. And then ask, don't you worry about Brother Paul. Go baptize him. I will show you. I haven't said this to him, but I will show you what Brother Paul must suffer for this kingdom. You entered the potter's house as a dead lump, simply trusting that he had a design in his mind to make you something of honor. You didn't know. He didn't tell you what it was, but it was his design, and you are his lump. We are his lump. God's going to do with us what he wants to do with us. Slip your hands up. I want to speak into the mind and the spirit of someone who feels broken. I want you to understand how precious the grace of God is. I want you to understand, Lord, hallelujah, that the hand of the Lord is upon you. Shandokosaya. Keep your hands on me, Lord. Hallelujah. Though you may be torn into pieces, you're on the wheel. And you know, you're a vessel that's marred, torn into pieces. You're cut into several pieces. But the master, he gets some of the water. Hallelujah. He gets some of the water and he drops it on the clay. He drops it on the clay and he puts his hand and he picks up the broken pieces that's still on his wheel and spinning, and he begins to mold it. Anamashaya. You never know that you could become even a lump again. Hallelujah. So he molds it and he applies some more water and he molds it. And he puts you now, slaps you down in the center of the wheel. And he begins to spin that wheel. And he's applying his hands on the lump of clay. Mandakoshaya. And as he applies his hand, you who thought there was nothing left for you, you feel the spirit, you feel the love of God just blowing over that lump of clay. You feel his loving arms catching you in your brokenness. Probably you went out into ministry and you went out preaching, but all of a sudden in your zeal and your excitement, the words became so much less. And you became silent. You thought everything is lost. It's a dry season. You left everything. You went back to the fishing boat. You picked up the nets that you left. And you began mending those nets. Because all you see left in this life is to go back to the fishing business that you were a part of. There's no use for me. Manakushaya. Hallelujah. There's no use for me. And so you went out. And now you're on the waters. You're fishing for fish. But you experience failure in the physical realms, as you have experienced it in the spiritual realms. What you used to do and what was, my God Almighty, what was something that was natural to you and gave you good success. You're back to the fishing business and you can't find no success. And the reason why you can't find no success is because you left and you didn't recognize that you are no longer that kind of a vessel. So fishing will not give you success. You are made into another vessel for another purpose. Shambakosa, you can't go back. You won't find success. It makes no sense hopping off the wheel. Stay in the hands of God. Kata Shamba, I'm speaking to someone who wants to leave back and go back to what they were before. You were a bloody mess before God found you. And you are no longer that kind of a vessel. You can't go back. It is impossible for you to fit in. Mandakosha, stay on the wheel. And so now you're in the boat. You're fishing all night, but you find no success. Somebody, all night fishing is about to end. Your world is a misery. What you used to do and is now doing can give you no success. You're a vessel of another kind, and you will not produce in the realms of darkness. Because when you entered the potter's house, you became dead. The clay was no longer anyone but the potter. And so in the act of grace, while you're in that boat fishing in your misery all night toiling, here comes the potter. And he calls you by name. Brother James, have you caught anything? No, Lord. Nothing. So cast your net on the other side. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will. You throw the net over on the other side, and lo and behold, the entire net was filled until it began to break. You recognize now, like Peter, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You recognize that the vessel that you are now means nothing and can do nothing without the involvement of the potter. He's got to play a role in your life. Any measure of success comes from the potter. You will have no success without him. So I say to the man, to the woman, who's trying to leave the father's house, go back. Probably you have left already and you're toiling. You need a word from the Lord. Go back to the Father's house. He's not interested in making you a hired servant. He's looking out for you. He wants to keep you on the wheel, to make you what he wants you to be. Stretch your hands up. The misery that you are facing, don't you try to rebuke it. That misery, while you're on the wheel, is ministry. The misery, the confusion, comes from the potter's hand. He allows it because he's shaping you He's about to give you a ministry. So enjoy that misery while you're on the wheel. Slip your hands up. Worship the Lord. Katasha, see yourself on the potter's wheel. While you're seeing yourself on the potter's wheel, recognize that unless I attach myself to the potter, the work of art will never be created. God, Shatta, I want what's in your mind. Save me from my cruel self that wrestle against your hands. Keep your hands on me, Lord. Keep your hands on me. Keep your hands on me. Keep your hands on me. Katashaya. Unless your hands are upon me, then the design cannot be transferred. It cannot become a reality. Lord, make me what you want me to be. Lord, by your mercy, it seems I'm marred in your hands, but by your mercy, breathe upon me. Breathe upon me. Breathe upon me. Shakosaya. Lord, I can feel the wheel spinning. Oh God, but I need to feel your hands upon me. Nana Mahatakusa. Put your hands on me, Lord. Yes, I feel it. Katashaya Bahusa. Oh God, I feel it. Feel it. Oh, Mama Mahuta Sandabako Sataya. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. Put your hands on me, Lord. My God Almighty. I'm speaking to someone right now. My God Almighty. Though you may be in the valley, I want to let you know that you're on the master's wheel. Olabashako. As you feel the presence of the Lord, God Almighty, right now, it's the hand of the Lord that's upon you. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, shaping you into what you want. He wants you to be. My God, hallelujah. Feel, my God Almighty, the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Shako Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His love, my God Almighty, hallelujah. Filling your heart, my God, and your soul with his precious love and his anointing. My God, I feel the presence of the Lord right now. I'm speaking to someone, my God, who is about to hop off the wheel. Stay on that wheel and let the hand of God shape you. Katashaya. Mandakosaya. Yabakotasa. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Breathe upon me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Breathe upon me. Make me what I ought to be. Hallelujah. Lord, by thy mercy, breathe upon me. Lama koshanda bakosaya. Mama kundasaya. Memohosha. Somebody who feels as if the moisture is about to leave. I want you to know the hand of the Lord is pouring an anointing. The water is being applied upon your lump right now. Shakomosa, feel the presence of the Lord. Feel the water pouring down and that clay right now. That's his anointing. Kotoshaya, my God Almighty, hallelujah. As you feel that anointing, it comes for a purpose because it's going to allow, my God, the hands of the Lord to push against you right now. Yes, Kotoshaya. Shandabasa. It's not just a mere speaking in tongues, but he's processing you. My God Almighty, he's moving that clay on the wheel right now, and he's applying that water. My God Almighty, hallelujah. He's going to make sure you stick on that wheel as he applies his hands to the base of the wheel, pressing against the clay to make sure that clay sticks to the wheel. My God Almighty, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you go around in circles, it may seem like you're in the wilderness of confusion, but as the hand of the Lord presses against you, look on the beauty that's coming out. Look on the beauty that is being expressed right now. Lord, keep your hands on me. Lord, keep your hands on me. Lord, keep your hands on me. Lord, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. My God Almighty, hallelujah. I'm dead in the hands of the Lord. My God, it's not me that no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me, and I live to show forth his glory. I live to show forth his praise. Come on, saints of the living God. I'm in the potter's hands. Shandokus.
Upon me.
Hallelujah.
Even me.
Hallelujah.
Make me what I
hallelujah want.
Ought to be in thy mercy. Breathe upon me. Make me full, complete. Breathe upon even me. Make me what I ought to be. In thy mercy,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Breathe upon the Lord
Jesus.
Upon me. Make me for thyself complete.
Hallelujah. Breathe upon
breathe upon me. Even me. Make me what I ought to be. In thy mercy, breathe upon me. Make me for thyself complete. Make me for
hallelujah
thyself.
Come on, sing
complete.
That song. Make me for.
Make me for thyself complete.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. In thy mercy, your unfailing love, make me for thy service complete. Breathe upon me, Lord. I believe right about this time that the Lord is speaking to someone who needs to recommit to the Lord, someone who thought the beauty of the vessel belonged to them, but the potter is saying, are in my hands. And your purpose must be to glorify my name. Someone who is in the midst of misery, you're in the potter's hands. Don't you move. Don't you walk away. His hands are upon you. Perhaps you are born and your whole life is a mess and you have not yet met this potter. And you want to enter the potter's house. His name is Jesus. You want to be shaped by him. You want to be a vessel that will bring honor and glory to his name. You can request water baptism in his name. There's a number on your screen, some information on your screen right now. You can do so wherever you are in this world. We will arrange to have you baptized in the name of the Lord. Perhaps you have walked away. We're going to pray now as we close. But you recognize how useless you are in this world of darkness. How empty. Yes, you're experiencing some pleasures, but your whole life is empty. Get back on the wheel. Go back to the potter's house. Let him shape you to become what he wants you to be.